Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's begin by turning to page 326, the right-hand column, halfway down. 326. I'll ask the questions and then we will speak the responses together. As the head of the family should teach in a simple way to the household, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. Who receives this sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words for you require all hearts to believe. In this sacrament, we cling to God's true word alone. We don't go by what our eyes see. We don't go by what our hearts kind of perceive. We go by what the word says. Because the word does not lie. Jesus does not lie to us or deceive us. Therefore, in the words of institution, when he tells us the bread and the wine are his body and blood, they are what he says they are. Even though we cannot fully comprehend how it is, faith simply clings to his word of truth and humbles itself under the word's authority. Believing the word of the Lord, then, what we receive in this sacrament is a tremendous treasure, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In reality, the entire gospel is realized in this sacrament and is offered to us through the word, which promises that in and under the visible elements of bread and wine, following the words of institution, we receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who believe Christ's words of promise receive the forgiveness this sacrament bestows. And the penitent children of God, who realize the enormity of their sins, how many dangers surround them, and how great Christ's gifts are that are given in the sacrament, will desire to receive the sacrament as often as it is offered. Now, Martin Luther in his large catechism explained, it is the word that makes a sacrament out of the element, or else it remains a mere element. It is the word of the divine majesty at whose feet all creatures should fall and affirm it as he says, and accept it with all reverence, fear, and humility. With his words, you can strengthen your conscience and say, if 1,000 devils together with all fanatics should rush forward crying, how can bread and wine be Christ's body and blood? and such, I know that all spirits and scholars together are not as wise as is the divine majesty in his little finger. Now here stands Christ's word. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament. It is true. It is true indeed that if you take away the word and regard the sacrament without the words, you have nothing but mere bread and wine. But if the words remain with them, as they shall and must, then by virtue of the words and sacramental union, it is truly Christ's body and blood. What Christ's lips say and speak, so it is. He can never lie or deceive. So the sacrament of the altar is the true body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, and instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Now this treasure by and in which we gain forgiveness of sins then should motivate us to frequent reception for our own blessing and benefit as food, if you will, for the soul to refresh and strengthen the gift of faith that you have been given. Is not your life of faith a constant struggle? You do live in a sin-filled, fallen world, don't you? A spiritual battle rages about you. Scripture reminds you that the devil is constantly prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He uses every form of temptation that he can think of to lead or steer you away from the Savior and his word in blessed means of grace. A fellow pastor related that when the road is long and your way is difficult, Jesus provides you his Holy Supper to strengthen you for the struggle, to give you courage in face of discouragement, and to embolden you for battle. All of this is true and certain because of his work upon the cross. By his life, suffering, and death, Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the devil. But even though they are defeated enemies, they are in their death throes and very dangerous. His work of salvation, though, is done. Forgiveness of sins is secured, and he lovingly bestows this treasure upon you by his word and sacraments. Already this Lenten season, you have learned that you receive such blessings by faith, a gift which he has given you in baptism. He makes it personal for you by connecting his forgiving word to the visible elements of bread and wine. But indeed, that word bestows upon you not simple bread and wine, but the very body and blood of the Lord as a means of bestowing the riches of his grace and mercy. This is the benefit, but it's also the efficaciousness or effectiveness of the sacrament. With Luther, then, we ask, who is the person who receives this treasure and benefit in the sacrament? To some, this might seem like a silly question, but we must remember that there are many who do not believe there is any benefit in the sacrament, only a pause to think about Jesus. It implies that not everyone who comes to the supper receives a benefit. You see, people who reject the clear word of the Lord and refuse to see what God is bestowing there need to hear our Lord through St. Paul that anyone coming to the supper without faith eats and drinks judgment on himself. On the other hand, whoever believes the words has what they declare. Jesus says, this is my body and this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And when the penitent have been instructed, they come to the sacrament and kneel before the altar. When you partake and eat the true body of the Lord and are given his very blood for the forgiveness of your sins, there is to be no doubt that this treasure that he has come to bring is for you. At that very moment, there is no uncertainty that you are the one who is eating and drinking, and that the blessings and benefits of the supper are then meant directly and absolutely for you. I like to say that this is the vertical arm of a crucifix, God to me through Christ. But there's also the horizontal arm of that crucifix, from me to you and from you to each fellow communicant. It also joins us to the communion of saints, temporally and heavenly, with those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, but also with those who are a part of the Una Sancta throughout the world. You see, Christ joins us to them. And with such blessings offered here, Why would we allow ourselves to be distracted from such heavenly treasure? Lest we think this is a malady that only faces us in our day, hear what Luther wrote about his day. Since we now have the true understanding and doctrine of the sacrament, there is also need for some admonition and encouragement. Then people may not let such a great treasure, daily administered and distributed among Christians, pass by unnoticed. So those who want to be Christians may prepare to receive this praiseworthy sacrament often. For we see that people seem lazy and weary about receiving the sacrament. A great multitude hears the gospel. Yet, because all legalism and compulsion has been abolished and we are freed from the laws and coercion, they go 1, 2, 3 years or even longer without the sacrament. They act as though they are such strong Christians that they have no need of it. Some allow themselves to be hindered and held up by the excuse that we have taught that no one should approach the sacrament except those who feel hunger and thirst, which drive them to it. Some pretend that it is a matter of liberty and not necessary. They pretend that it is enough to believe without it. For the most part, they go so far astray that they become quite brutish and finally despise both the sacrament and God's word. Indeed, those who are true Christians and value the sacrament will drive and move themselves to go to it. Now, for those who are cold and indifferent, may they reflect upon their true condition and rouse themselves. I found in my own experience that if a person withdraws like this from the sacrament, he will daily become more and more callous and cold and will at last disregard the sacrament completely. To avoid this, we must examine our hearts and conscience. And we must act like people who desire to be right with God. The more this is done, the more the heart will be warmed and enkindled, so it may not become entirely cold. Remember also, you will also have the devil about you. You will not entirely tread him underfoot, because our Lord Christ himself could not entirely avoid him. The devil is a liar and a murderer, and then leads the heart astray from God's word to blind it, so that you cannot feel your distress or come to Christ. He is also a murderer, who cannot bear to see you live one single hour. If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. But there is no reason why we talk about such who are securely and carelessly living their lives. They neither think nor believe that they are in the flesh, or in a wicked world, or in the devil's kingdom. So these goals and others cannot be reached unless we train people who are to come after us and succeed us in our office and work. We should do this in order that we also may bring up their children successfully, so that God's word in the Christian church may be preserved. Therefore, let every father of each family know that it is his duty, by God's order and command, to teach these things to his children, or to have the children learn what they ought to know. Fellow redeemed, we have come to the conclusion of our Lenten journey. This next week we enter into Holy Week. Thus far, we have examined portions of Luther's catechisms as our guides. Certainly, it's been a shallow view over the broad subjects. But I pray that this Lenten journey has helped to deepen and strengthen your understanding of the importance of keeping the basics of the Christian faith front and center in your daily lives. And to that end, we have once again reviewed in brief fashion the 6 chief parts of Christian doctrine. We've heard our Lord remind us that we have fallen short of God's holy law. And he has also reminded us that in his mercy, he has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Out of love, he came into our sinful world to bear our sins upon the cross and to arise victoriously from the grave, defeating sin, death, and the devil. And through his word and sacraments, he bestows the blessings of his life, death, and resurrection that he won for us. This is why we do have and receive the forgiveness of sins. It's why we do have and receive, through his means of grace, eternal life and salvation. You see, it is through the sacraments. It is through his word that Christ gives Himself, His very body and His blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. And I pray you know by now that where there is forgiveness, there is also the strengthening of the gift of faith that you have been given and preservation to eternal life. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.